Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're speaking to a P-searcher who also has a child with multiple disabilities.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F-word. It's not suitable for children. So you might have to put us on mute when people walk in the room or if you're in Melbourne. If you're in Melbourne, you just have to have your earbuds in all
hide
the
in
time.
Your car.
Yeah, or hide in your car. My kids just always look at me and then come around and look at the side to see if I've got earbuds in. We need a little bit of respite, a little bit of podcast respite. It's hard to get the time to listen. So for those of you in Melbourne who are listening, thank you.
Yes, thank you. That's
really
a big effort.
It's really hard and we talk for a long time.
We really, really do.
So thank you.
Yeah.
How are you, Mandy?
Yes, I'm here.
Yep.
How are you?
I'm good. We're still in lockdown.
Yep.
I don't know. We don't. There's no hope. We will not speak of hope. I don't want to say hopeless. I'll just say we don't have any.
I was thinking the other day, you know, before you get your period, you feel so despair.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole of Victoria's premenstrual.
The whole of Victoria's waiting for their period.
You know, it's the day where you just feel like everything's coming down on you.
Yes, and you can't quite work out why.
And you just think, why do I feel so bad? Yes. And then the next day, gone to the toilet.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Hope you like that image. But I think Victoria's, particularly Melbourne, is in that
Think so too. Yeah. Deep breath.
Deep breath.
Another day. We don't even know what we're counting down anymore.
I'm not counting down.
No.
I don't even know what day it is. I sent an email to Miss Nine's teacher and I said, I'm waving the white flag. I said, and I feel happy. I said, this is what we can commit to.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm just sorry.
No.
We've got to stay.
Yep. Hopefully, alive. This episode might be coming out in the school holidays. So hopefully we are, by the time you hear us, there's a tiny lilt in our step.
Anyway, sorry if you're in wherever and you don't care.
But yeah.
Sorry, Australia. You need
Queensland,
to listen to this.
Living your best life.
Yeah.
They must be missing us, though. That's what
Do you think?
Surely every town. Well, like Melburnians flock to Queensland and Sydney.
That's right.
Sydney siders flock to Queensland.
Yes.
I know rich people go to Broome.
Yeah.
Like none of there's and no interstate travel.
Some people come to Melbourne for a winter experience,
yes.
don't they? Come
and Tassie,
shopping, put a coat on.
Everyone loves going down to Tassie.
I know.
And so surely everyone's city is a little bit different because the tourists just aren't there. There's no international tourists.
Yes.
We don't know because we can't go into our city.
No.
But yeah.
Anyway,
we actually have a really super exciting guest.
Yes, we do.
Maybe we should sing her in.
I'm stumped.
Well, we could be like, good morning, Miss Amy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we have singing P. Amy, hello.
Hello, Amy.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. You're the original singing P.
You are.
Oh, thank you.
When did
you
send in your first song? I can't, was it like sort of,
well,
it was last year.
It might have been end of last year,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And that one was the sort of, you know, first original sort of song that I sent through to you. So, yeah.
And
it was so moving to us because we love music.
Oh, we do.
And we also know the ability of not being able to do it. And then when you took the time.
Oh,
it was just,
it was so amazing. We did. Oh. And you should know that scholarship, it just goes around the house and sings it to me.
Does she?
Yeah, she sings it. She's like,
you do. You make us want to pee.
She's like, yeah.
Laughing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're disappointed you can't be here in the pod bar.
Yep.
But here we are. So
yes.
Let's take it away, Kate.
Let's take it away. All right. So first question, obviously you love music. Do you have any songs or a band or music that gets you through good times or bad times?
Okay. So I've had a bit of a think about this one and honestly there are so many. So it is quite difficult.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we gave ourselves an episode and here we are asking people to have one.
I know. Well, no, look, I couldn't do one for you, Mandy.
That's fine. Great. So, go for it.
Yep.
All right. So the first one is Aretha Franklin's Respect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's such an...
Yep.
Yeah, probably not quite that high. But no, it revs me up. You know, it makes me feel powerful.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, ready to advocate like a, you know, beep, beep, beep.
Yes.
You can just say motherfucker.
You know, it's just,
Kate will.
I'll say it for you.
It's true. Yeah. And the second song that always makes me laugh because it kind of relates to my dad, who is an absolute joker.
Yep.
Is the song Que Sera Sera by Doris Day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and, you know, it's obviously a beautiful song, you know, Que Sera Sera, whatever will be. You get the idea.
Yep.
And, you know, I like that because it kind of reminds me of your, you know, you get what you get and you don't get on this kind of idea.
Yep.
Yeah. But the reason it kind of makes me laugh is because basically, I didn't know that it was a beautiful song until sort of well into my teens because my dad used to sing that as a lullaby to my sisters and I. And one of whose names is actually Sarah Kay or, you know, Kay Sarah. Right? So I had no idea that this was actually a song that wasn't something my dad made up. And also, of course, he would sing it in his absolute worst singing voice to make us, you know, sort of giggle before bedtime. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of like, Kay, Sarah, whatever will be, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, makes me laugh.
Oh.
So lots of, you know, meanings there.
Yes, that is gorgeous.
That's the gift of music.
I know it is the gift.
It means something different to everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're probably the two key songs that I can come up with for now.
And as a sleep consultant, what a tremendous way to wind children down.
I don't think
Dads are very good at that.
I'm joking. That's beautiful. And it was a beautiful ritual. I'm teasing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who cares what you sing? I listened to a mum patting her baby singing Octopus's Garden for about 2 hours once.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So
beautiful.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever works.
Okay, tell me about if you won any awards in school.
Okay, so I did. And I think you can all probably guess what I won awards for.
Tell us.
Singing.
So, for singing.
Okay. Oh, amazing.
Because really, honestly, I just lived and breathed singing at school. And plays. I did a lot of plays and musicals and things like that.
So,
the awards that I won, and I will say too, I didn't get too many first places. I mostly got second places and honourable mentions. But, you know, that's okay. They're still technically awards.
They are.
So let's see. Yeah, exactly. So the ones I can remember were I won or came second in our school's house choral competition as a soloist.
Wow. Oh, very good.
Yeah. And I got a few honourable mentions in some Steadfords that we did. And then obviously I was a part of lots of different choirs and they won a few first prizes. That was probably, when it comes to awards, that was the main things that I got awards for.
That's a really good thing.
And
to
they're
get
meaningful
for.
Because you loved it.
And you worked hard at it and you went and performed.
And that was my world, you know, as a teenager. That's all I did.
It's where you belonged.
So,
the music drama kids.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I had a few of them.
Yes. Well, it gives them a place to belong.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing look, a lot of our peas can't do it or can't do it like that. Yes. Everyone can enjoy music, don't
yes.
get me wrong.
Yes.
But you yeah. may not want to do hours of practicing and performing.
Being contraband, yeah.
But some may.
Oh, exactly.
But, yeah, I know all three of my older children were in all the musicals, all
yeah.
the school
yeah.
bands
yeah.
and choirs. And, yeah, there's just nothing yeah. like going and hearing a bunch of kids
oh,
perform.
It's the best.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's brilliant. It is. And it was my world. The only downside about it was that I have to say once I got to university I had to kind of learn quite a few things that I had sort of missed out on while I was doing so much singing and drama at school. So that was the only downside. Essay writing once I got to uni was a bit more challenging because I, yeah, honestly.
Well, you get pulled out of classes for your music lessons, don't you?
What was that, sorry?
You get pulled out of class for your music lessons.
I did, exactly yeah. right. Yes,
yep.
yes.
Yeah, mm. true.
Yeah.
But worth it because you still love it
yes.
today.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yes. Yep.
And then the most important question, why are you a P?
Okay. So as Mandy said in the intro, I would say that I am a P, but I'm also a P searcher.
She came up with the term.
You did. She did come up with that term.
yeah, because I just felt like, you know, P professional didn't quite sum it up for me.
Totally.
In the nature of what I do. So basically my job is to carry out research with peas and with pea shoots.
Awesome.
Usually adult pea shoots. And so that's part of the work that I do. But I am a pea because I have an amazing young guy. He's almost 14 and he's diagnosed with autism. He has a mild intellectual disability. He has ADHD, anxiety, and he also has a condition called PHPV, which I honestly always forget what that means. But basically it means that he was born blind in one eye mm. and that eye looks a bit different. It
right.
sort of didn't form properly in the utero.
Right. So did you know that as mm-hmm. soon as he was born?
Within a day or so, yeah. yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you pick it up or did someone else pick it up?
No, someone else picked it up. I think it was one of the doctors that
yes.
are there when, you know, give birth.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep.
Yeah, because their eyes are so little.
Yes. And they're closed most of the time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did they deliver that news to you and how did you take it?
Sure. Okay. So for me, you know, he was a term baby, so that yep. was all fairly normal. He was born by C-section, so yep. it was an emergency Caesar after a lovely long labour.
Yeah.
It just didn't progress.
Yep.
So that was fun. So I was pretty exhausted by then.
Yes.
He was okay when he was born. He had a bit of jaundice or what have you. But, yeah, within, I think, I can't remember exactly, but it was probably about, it was less than a day. It was really when they were doing their, you know, first few checkups.
Yes.
And they obviously looked at his eye and they must shine light into each of the eyes.
Yep.
And when they shone light into his, I think it's his left eye, it doesn't, you know, there's no pupil dilation.
Right.
It doesn't even have a pupil there. It doesn't,
right.
It's just got a scar through it.
Right.
Through the actual eyeball. I don't know all the technical terms.
Oh, that's okay.
I mean.
Yeah.
Look, I did just do a cow dissection eyeball virtually via Zoom. So.
Yeah, so you are the expert.
I am the expert. But I will let you have your moment.
Thank you, Kate.
Blah.
I know.
Anyway. So it was definitely a bit of a shock. I didn't expect it. I didn't know anything. Obviously, during the scans beforehand, nothing came up.
Mm.
You know, it was definitely a bit of a surprise to us. And it was also a bit concerning because at the time we were told, look, you know, this condition is variable.
Yep.
But right. some children with this condition can lose their eye.
Right.
And it might need to be removed.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it wasn't a little thing. I mean, obviously in the grand scheme of things, it's a little thing.
Yeah, but no.
You know, when you first had a baby.
Yeah. It's enormous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. And it did mean lots and lots and lots and lots of appointments with the optometrist and ophthalmologist.
Yep.
At the children's, especially in those first few months.
Yep.
And do you want me to tell you a little bit about the story of that?
Sure.
And how that went?
Please.
Sure.
Okay. So essentially what happened was, within the first week we had to go and see the ophthalmologist at the hospital where I gave birth. He basically sort of gave us the summary of, you know, here's what it is, here's what, you know, go and look it up and have a look. He did. I do remember him saying to me, he'll be able to do everything except be a fighter pilot. So I remember thinking, okay, well, at least from a point of view of, you know, functional capacity, that's something.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I didn't know about all the other disabilities that let it come.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that time I thought, well, okay, even if he lost the eye, you know, it's going to make that much difference to his day-to-day functioning. Yes. So that was the one big positive that kind of got me through, I think.
Yeah.
From there, then we were sent to the children. So we saw the ophthalmologist there every few weeks, you know, and it just went sort of on and on and on, mainly just to make sure that that eye wasn't causing him pain and that it wasn't needing to be removed. So it was just the checkups to make sure, to see how it's going, see how it's progressing, because, you know, they grow so much when they're little.
Yes,
yeah. Was that tricky for you when he was a little baby, thinking, I don't know if you're crying because you're tired or your eye's giving you pain? How did you navigate that?
Yeah, super tricky. Yeah, you just, I mean, especially when they're tiny newborn, but you just kind of hope, you know, you could tell if it was red or anything like that. But, you know, that was pretty much it. It was me sort of thinking, oh, does it look red? Does it look sore?
Yep.
He was pretty good and it didn't look too bad. The tricky part was also that the ophthalmologist at the time felt that from a point of view of aesthetics and also to ensure that because the concern was also that the area around the framing, I don't know what you call it, but where the eyebrow is, they were worried that that was going to collapse.
Right.
So that he wouldn't have to, I don't know what you call that, but the essentially that structure around the socket. Okay, there you go.
I don't know. Don't
like the bone.
No, that's right.
Is there bone? Yeah, I'm feeling mine. Yeah, like the eye socket, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get the general idea. Yes. And I'm sure everybody at home is touching their eyes.
Yeah, we are.
Because I am. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was the concern too, was that if we didn't put something in there that would drop down and then he would look quite, you know, more affected. So what they wanted to do was and what we did try to do was they made a mould of that eye socket area and created essentially like a little hollowed out eyeball. Which we went and saw. I don't even know what the name of that person was. I'm sure I did at the time.
You
but
forget.
They copied his other eye, painting it, making it look
new.
But honestly, girls, this thing was so, it was like it's not like a little contact lens. This is like a stiff, hollowed out eyeball that they wanted us to put in day after day. So in and out, in and out. And he just screamed.
Oh, how old was he?
Screamed. We're talking like a little 3-4-month-old baby.
Oh,
Amy.
Yeah. And we were going to have to do this. Obviously, as he grew, he'd have to get new ones. And basically, exactly. So it's very much like a prosthetic, you know, that you have for your leg or whatever, but this is an eye.
Yes.
So ultimately, though, my husband and I just said, look, this is just not worth this. This is really causing so much stress to our son and to our family. And really, you know, the reality is this was cosmetic. And it wasn't going to fix anything. It wasn't going to make his eyesight come back in that eye.
Yes.
And, you know, ultimately this was just to try and make him look, you know, normal, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, eventually after a few months said, look, no, we're not doing this anymore. You know, if our son really wants to do this when he's, you know, a teenager or an adult, he can come back and do this because this is too much for him and us.
Yep.
So we had to make that call, and that was hard, saying no to the ophthalmologist.
What
who's, you
did
know,
they say? What was their response?
They basically said, okay, but you do realise, you know, that it may collapse and it may not look the same.
Yes.
So we said, all right, well, that's our decision. So, he did. He continued to see us. So we've seen him, started off obviously every few weeks, then it kind of went to every few months and then, you know, once a year, and now we probably don't have to see. We are seeing a different ophthalmologist because we moved away from Melbourne.
Yep.
But it is still every sort of couple of years now.
Yeah.
And we've been he has been very lucky.
Yeah.
Essentially with this condition, as I said to you girls before, you know, the eye can literally have to come out.
Yeah.
He actually has what I always say to people is it's a big, small eye. Meaning it's big enough that it's managed to sort of hold that eyebrow up.
Yep.
And it's not been as damaged as it could be. So really, for people with that condition, he's been very blessed and we've been very lucky, and it really doesn't bother him that much.
Okay.
Obviously, good. People stare sometimes and that's not so fun.
No.
He doesn't like that.
No.
Yeah, well, people can just stop staring.
Yeah.
So that they would
really
be...
They really can.
Yeah, they really can. Yeah.
So, yeah, that side of things he doesn't like. But other than that, you know, he really can, like, just like that first optometrist or ophthalmologist said, he really can do everything except be a fighter pilot. Like, it doesn't affect him.
Yep.
You know, he really can. He's actually an amazing drummer now, and that amazes me because – you think about this guy having only vision in one eye.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're using all of your body to be a drummer.
That's right. The coordination that you need to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of sums up the fact that really, because he's had it since birth, his body's very much just adjusted and adapted. So
I think that's a big deal to say no to the professionals, isn't it?
It's it was big. It was big.
I really bet because there's been times where I've said no and I've ruminated over that for ages.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? And you just
and everybody's story is different. You can go onto any forum and you don't necessarily – you've got to kind of trust your own
that's
instinct
right.
in your parenting,
you
don't
really
you?
You really do. You really do.
And that takes time.
There's probably some families who've had a child with this condition and found that doing this whole process with the, you know, fake eyeball thing is not an issue for their child.
Yeah,
their child happily has it in their eye and that's fine. But for our guy, it was just, you know, screaming in pain and it was obviously not something he was managing. And maybe that relates to his later diagnosis,
maybe.
In terms of he could be feeling that sensitivity a bit more. But
of course.
Obviously we didn't know anything about that.
No, you don't.
4 month old baby.
No.
But
when did that all start unfolding? When did you start getting?
Sure. Well, I think even in that sort of first year of life, I had a very, very anxious child.
Right.
And so at that point, you know, look, they weren't diagnosing children with autism when they're 12 months old back then.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think he was just, he wouldn't go to mother's group with me. He wouldn't go to any of the music classes. We couldn't really do anything because he was just so anxious. He'd be screaming, he'd be crying, he'd be crawling up my, you know, on top of me practically trying to escape from everyone.
Yes. Yep.
And everyone kept saying to me, oh, well, you know, it's because he's had this difficulty, you know, this difficult early childhood with all the eye stuff. And so everyone kept going back to the eye stuff and, you know, I mean, like I said, he was crawling, he was doing all his things in those early baby days. And so we weren't super concerned except the anxiety. That was the real thing. Mm. Probably by about 18 months, he was a little bit behind, but overall it was still really that anxiety, you know. And I just thought, I can't go anywhere. This is, you know, and I'm quite a social person, so it's quite challenging for me to, you know.
Extremely.
And I think probably when it's your first child as well, you think, am I doing something wrong? Because I know Buzz and Woody were like that. Like if we went to like mainly music or whatever, they just clung onto me, right?
Yes,
I didn't, you know.
Exactly.
They would bolt as soon as we got in an open space.
Yeah.
But if there were other people around. But I knew, like, these are my fourth and fifth babies. Oh, this is just who they are. It's not, but I think people are very judgy. Even then they're like, you know what? People used to say to me all the time, you need to leave them with strangers so that they, you know, they've got to get over this and they make out like it's yours.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Or separation anxiety, you know, that's always thrown, isn't it? In terms of developmental milestones.
Exactly. And in fact, that actually leads very nicely into what happened when I went to the GP.
Tell us.
So we went to the GP at about 2 years. And it was mainly me going, look, this child is so anxious. What can I do? You know, like, what's going on? Can we do some sort of test or something?
Yeah.
And basically the rectum GP said, you know, you two just need to sort of push a bit harder and learn how to be better parents and gave us a book on parenting.
Gosh.
General rectitioner.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And then... She'd actually did refer us to the paediatrician, but this was basically, unfortunately, a rectum paediatrician. Because this person said, because as I said, he was mainly presenting with anxiety.
Yeah.
So this paediatrician said, no, I don't think it's autism. This looks like abuse. I'm going to refer you to CAMHS, which is the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service.
Amy.
Yes.
Yep. And so then we went to this camp that was probably, it was only a few months later, which was actually really like good in terms of, because, you know, waitlists are terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, that's the thing about abuse, you know, you get quick service.
Yes. This looks like abuse. They said that to you.
Apparently, yeah. So basically then when we got to CAMHS, we were met by a psychiatrist because, you know, we're bad parents who most likely abused our child. Oh, and we were grilled by the psychiatrist.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, it was pretty horrible.
Very horrible, I can imagine. Because
what did
you,
the psychiatrist say?
I mean, you're the person who took your child to say, I'm worried about this child. And so then
I know
that GP obviously wrote something in your referral as well.
Yep. Well, yeah, exactly. Mm. And so, look, okay, but the good news was the, you know, the psychiatrist was actually, you know, a professional in mental health.
Yes.
So they could quickly see, really, no, this is not abuse. And, you know, my son, he adored my husband and I.
Yes.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Finally, we had somebody who actually understood. So that actually didn't last. That was supposed to be a session that lasted like 2 hours or something, and it only went for, you know, a few minutes really.
Oh, right.
So actually they sent you to the right place.
They did.
Yeah. Yes, well, exactly. Yeah.
It was just some mean words. Yes, a terrible way to get there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then this person, this psychiatrist, brought in the psychologist and the speech therapist and another paediatrician, and they diagnosed my guy with autism spectrum disorder. So that was probably about 2 years, 9 months when he was diagnosed.
Shivers at my spine. How did you shake that? How did you shake those words?
Yeah. Oh, guys, it wasn't easy. It really wasn't. Yeah, it makes you feel horrible, doesn't it? You know, that they think this is, you know, and I guess I was confident in the sense that I knew.
Yes.
I know my husband, I know myself, and I know how loving we are.
Yes.
And I knew also that, you know, his challenges, his anxiety were when we went out, not when we were at home.
He was the
most loving, huggy, cute, smiley baby at home.
Yes.
It was just when we were out and about.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, lucky that you had that, you know, knowledge and strength and self-confidence because, I mean, it could destroy a mother or a parent being told that. And then you have to wait a few weeks to go and see someone.
At least. Yeah, exactly. The wait lists are always horrendous, aren't they? Yeah. So that was kind of the start then of, you know, the autism journey, I suppose, 2 years, 9 months.
Right.
The ADHD didn't come, the diagnosis for that didn't really come until he started school.
Yeah.
And for us then it was pretty clear, right? He's bouncing off the walls. Really can't sit still, you know, constantly tapping in his chair, you know.
Yep.
And the teacher just said, look, we've I think maybe go and have another chat to a paediatrician. And they did recommend somebody that we still see every 6 months. And
good.
We do really love him. He's great. Yeah. He's not a victim at all.
Yep, awesome.
Good. So, yeah, so that's really good.
So in the early childhood days, did you attend – like where did
Kinder
you get your therapies or what?
Yeah.
How did you?
Sure. Yeah, so lots of that.
Where did you go?
We started off, it took a while, you know.
Yes,
like
it does.
Back then, it's not like NDIS now, you know. It's,
no.
You really had
you've got to have
wait
a couple of
see.
Things,
yeah.
you know. I had to have two things to get into our one, you know.
Exactly. And there's wait lists. Back then there was wait lists for everything.
Yep.
And
there
we
really
didn't,
was.
We just had to call around. Like I didn't have. You know, there was no centralized system even. I just had to call everywhere and see what I could get into. So we did a bit of private therapy. You know, we did some things through Erebina, which is out in, you know, near you guys.
Yep.
I'm sure you know of them.
We know it.
Exactly. We did some, so that was, because he was, oh, that's right, we did some aquatic OT because he was absolutely terrified of water. Well, actually, no, it's not water. He was terrified of being inside with water. So he would allow us to sort of bathe him outside in a tub.
Wow.
But that's not very practical when it comes to, you know, because it's just the echoiness and the noise and the sensory
Holes
of being inside.
Are very,
very hard.
Yeah.
And
hard
even as
exactly.
an adult who I don't have any of those sensory issues, sometimes when you're in a swimming pool and it's really hot, you start to have that feeling of panic attack.
Yes.
You're like, I want to get out of here. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So
it's, and it's a rigmarole. Get undressed. Get dressed. Get dry.
Exactly.
Hurry up. you know.
Yeah. And but even he wouldn't have a shower at home either. It was just that indoor sort of space.
You needed help.
Which now I think is laughable because I've got a guy who absolutely loves water. But yes. Back then, you know, it was just that real anxiety. So I worked.
Well, yay for the OG that got that.
Yeah, that was huge. And it was tough. But, you know, we got there. And as I said, now you can't get him out. Well, if we weren't in lockdown, you wouldn't be able to get him out of the pool.
That's wonderful.
You now, we certainly can't get him out of the shower.
No.
And a teenager. Yep. I love it.
Exactly. So, yeah, so lots of different therapies. We eventually did, they ran a kind of kindergarten type program at one of the special developmental schools.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we did that kindergarten program. Alongside a little bit of childcare as well.
Yeah.
Because whilst all this was happening, I was actually getting my PhD in sociology. So that is where the research side of things comes.
Yes.
So I started my PhD when he was about 12 months. And I just kept going.
What a woman. Years.
Sorry, I just. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, so so it took me sort of 8 years part time to do that as well as doing.
Well,
basically,
job.
Oh, thanks, girls.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's doctor singing, Amy.
It is doctor singing, Amy.
Yeah, it is technically doctor singing, Amy. So, that was sort of running alongside, I guess you could say, with all the therapies and just trying to juggle everything. And it was a juggle; it really was. Sort of, you know, running around to therapies and then sort of having him. I put him in family daycare, which was actually brilliant because it allowed him to develop that relationship with one other person
that
was a good one. Thank goodness for that.
Is this the right question to ask? What was your thesis on? Is that what you do in a PhD? You do a thesis?
Exactly.
Look at you, Mandy.
go Mandy. Yeah, no. My thesis looked at the experiences and practices of people using family daycare and people using nanny care. So I interviewed nannies and family daycarers, and I interviewed parents, basically just about their experiences. So in that sense, it was very relevant to my own life. But
what did you find?
Oh, look, that basically it's all women. You know, surprise, surprise. And that was interesting to me because it was something that, you know, I thought, gosh, we're in the 21st century. Surely, you know, we might have a few guys who are family daycarers or a few guy nannies. Nope.
Yeah.
Not even at the level where you, you know, where the people who are organising it or the people who are facilitating these sorts of jobs, you know, it's still all women.
Yes.
So that was
at a council level or, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. So, very much women. And I looked at a lot of things like flexibility as a theme. I looked at the home or the idea of home as a theme. What else did I look at? So, yeah, lots of different things like that. Oh, relationships. So I looked at the way people interact and how we, you know, we have these people as being almost like foe or what do you call it? Like as if relationships.
Yes.
So, you know, like the nanny is like an auntie or like a mother-like figure, you know. So those sorts of discussions. Anyway, but, yeah, so that was the thesis. And that was sort of running alongside all the therapies. And it took me 8 years to finish it. And that was, that's just sort of how it goes. It, you know, technically should have been done in 4, but they, you know, they were very great and they let Well, you know, part-time could be done over 8 years. So that that was good. And then he also was really blessed to be part of a brand new program that were brand new back then out at La Trobe University.
Yeah.
So they were running the autism-specific early learning and care centre out there.
Right.
So that was the brand new thing they were doing, and that allowed him to attend. I think that back then he was doing 4 days. No, he eventually did 5 days with all the different therapists in the program.
Oh,
so that was, it was amazing, and it was a sort of a pilot program. From what I understand, unfortunately, they weren't able to continue at the level that they were running because they just don't have the funding.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was. So for his 4-year-old, well, essentially kinder year, he got to be a part of that. So he was there 5 days, 5 hours a day. And, really, really sort of particularly when it came to his communication, it really pushed him along. So we were very, very blessed to be part of that, and I'm extremely grateful to that team because I think he's come, he got a lot out of that, and so did I. So, and, of course, it gave me some more time to work on the PhD.
Yes, so and also you didn't have to traipse him around to therapies.
Exactly. So he could,
that sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing. Yes. It's how it should be.
It's how it should be.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly. So, yeah, I'd say probably the only thing they didn't have was that aquatic OT. So I was still doing that, going out. That was a bit of a drive, though, as you can imagine, to, you know, from my place out to
Bundura,
which is out in the eastern suburbs.
Yeah.
So that
was always quite a drive for those of you outside of Melbourne.
And not an easy drive.
No.
Sort of,
no, not at all. But that's okay. You do what you got to do.
You really do.
So, no, that was really great. But then, of course, came the whole, what are we going to do about school?
Yeah.
You know, I hate that stuff. It's just so hard, isn't it, girls?
Yes. It's so hard.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell us, what did they guide you with that, the La Trobe people, or?
Yeah, look, they did. I think the thing is, you get a lot of mixed messages, don't you?
Yes,
So we had La Trobe saying one thing. They said, maybe you want to stay for an extra year with us.
Right.
Yep. My concern with doing that was that I'd been given advice that, particularly if he was going to go down a special school sort of setting, that would mean potentially he might miss out on a year of school because they were saying
you have to be finished
by 18.
Yes, that's right.
And so I was sort of concerned about that. So we ended up for his first couple of years, we went to an autism specific school.
Right.
Yep.
Just for those first couple of years. And, you know, I think at the time the idea for me was, well, he's not ready to be in a mainstream school.
Yep.
Let's go there for a few years, just sort of getting used to the idea.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. And get over some of that anxiety, because we still had quite a bit of anxiety back then.
Yes.
So that's what we did for the first couple of years. But it became pretty clear to us that, you know, it would be really great for him to have that opportunity to be in mainstream.
Yes.
Yep.
And so that was actually a really positive situation, because quite a few of the kids that were in his current class and the one next door, which sort of had similar abilities, were actually going to one particular mainstream primary school. And it wasn't that far from us. It wasn't our local, but it was, you know, only sort of about 5Ks away or something.
Right. Yeah, good.
So I contacted that school and I said, look, what do you think? You know, this is his level. Yeah. You know, would you, you know, I know we're not the closest, but would you consider him? And basically, yes, they did. We started off sort of a dual enrollment.
Yeah.
For those in other states, that basically means you spend half your week one place and half your week in the other place. Yeah. And that was pretty good. But, of course, anybody who's tried dual enrollment will know it means you basically got foot in every door you're not really anywhere.
It's tricky.
It is tricky. But he did really well. So we moved him across and he got to do his grade 2, 3, 4, 5 and half of grade 6 at the mainstream school. And it was amazing. That school is so great.
Aww.
And I just wish he could have stayed there forever.
Yes. I know.
You find a good one.
Yeah.
I know. And they were so lovely and they had such great, they really thought about him. And they were really open to suggestions from me. You know, they actually inspired me once I finished the PhD to sort of start up my own business of running seminars for teachers on autism.
Fantastic.
So that's sort of where that started, which is not what I'm doing now. I've got a different job now, but I did that for a few years as well because I could see the need. I could see, how helpful that was.
Yeah.
So that's what I did there. But they were so beautiful. Yeah, just, oh, goodness, can't they just stay in primary forever?
I know.
So probably really similar to you, Mandy, with Molly. You know, you kind of get to that latter years and you think, oh, this is tricky, you know.
Yep.
I can't imagine going to high school. You know, he's struggling already socially, academically. Yes. What are we going to do? So we then, and I thought, no, I can't really have him go back to where he was in the autism school. It's just not right for him.
Yeah.
So we looked around, very similar to you, Mandy, looked at special schools.
Yeah.
And we managed to get his, IQ under that, you know, required
magic
amount.
Number.
The magic, you know, you love it, number.
Cruel.
Yeah, it is cruel. Yep.
It is utterly cruel. It yep. really is. And, yep. you know, so many terrible stories about other people I trying know. To get their kids. Oh,
I could write a book about the people I know
you really
dodging
could.
Around that 50 or 70 number. I could.
Yep. Oh, it's just.
Yep. It makes me want to cry, actually.
Mm. Oh, it because really does. It's just so horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you
yep,
feel waiting is. To be told for that number?
I didn't have to wait too long that. Because they actually did the assessment at school.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yep. That was the same
so
as me.
And
yep.
so they called me in, I think, to have a discussion pretty much after. Like it went over a couple of days.
Yes.
So yep. I think I don't think I had to wait very long at all. I Good. Seem to remember it was only a couple of days after Good. That I had yes. a meeting with the psychologist at the school, you know, person who goes around to all the different schools yep. to do that assessment. And so I knew then that, yes, you would be able to get that score. So from that point onwards, then it was about, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, what do I?
Was this grade
really
five
hard.
By then or what
he was of? He was sort of halfway through grade six, by then.
Wow, yeah.
No, it was beginning of six.
Yep, yep.
But honestly, he was really struggling in that grade yeah. six. I thought, no, you've had a hard grade five already.
Yeah.
So if I could get you out sooner, I would.
Yeah.
And you're still, planning for the next step.
Yes.
So exactly. you're already exactly. thinking 3 years ahead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You really are. You really
which,
are.
Which a lot and, of mainstream people are
Yeah, they
too,
are as well. You yeah. know. And you hear lots of people.
But they have more choice.
Firstly, they're like, oh, they've had enough of primary school. You
yeah.
know, like
yeah.
they're really ready. But, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. It's so tricky. And
yep.
so honestly, like, you know, we made a big list of our priorities and we weren't really sold. Like I didn't really want him to go to special,
yep.
which I'm sure we all understand. It's really oh, hard making that decision.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, and I thought, well, I don't, yeah, we've already tried autism. I'm not sure if that's the way
yes.
to go for him either.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
and
just so
then
tricky.
It was like, well, do we try so I went and had about, I don't know, 30 tours or something
yep.
on all these different schools. Anywhere and everywhere I could
yep.
possibly find.
Mm. Yep.
My main key criteria as well, as long as my husband can still commute to his job,
yes.
then all right, we'll think about, you know, renting out our place and going
yeah,
to find
yeah.
you know, rent somewhere else.
Yeah. We'll do anything.
Which is probably a bit Yeah, you well, yeah, because I just didn't feel like he fitted in anywhere, you
yeah.
know. And it's so tough. Like I just, and I know listening to you girls, I know you feel that too.
Yes.
It's really tricky trying to find that place because mainstream didn't seem quite right. There doesn't seem, you know, either they were, you know, sort of too academic.
Yes.
Or you just think
all sports.
Yeah, he's not going to be supported.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. All sports.
Yeah. yeah.
But even just, yeah, the mainstream schools, it just, I felt like there'd be some great role models.
Yes.
But that he would just be left in the
yes,
dust, really.
Yes, yes.
But then I was worried about special school because I felt like, oh, you know, but is he going to be sort of pushed enough? Is he
yes.
going to try, you know?
Yes.
So there is that sort of, and there still is, you know.
Yes.
So essentially what we ended up doing was choosing a school completely out of left field. I think everybody was shocked when we chose this because we were living pretty much right around the corner from you girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously we looked at the schools around there, but I just thought, you know, let's go and have a look at some other options in regional Victoria
wow.
as well.
Yep.
And so what we've ended up choosing, so we moved up here a couple of years ago and chose a special school up in the regional area. And the main reason we chose it over the ones in Melbourne is because they did sort of have a lot of things like up their own farm. Yeah, exactly. Their own cafe. So sort of opportunities to sort of give him a range of different activities
yes, yes.
that I just thought that sounds like he could do something with that.
Amazing. So is that
yeah,
a foundation to year 12 school, special school?
It is. Yes, exactly.
So good.
Yes. So he was able to sort of slot into a sort of grade six class.
Oh, so good.
Because we started midway through that
yes.
year.
Yep.
And now he's in, you know, coming up to the end of year eight, I guess.
Oh,
nearly
yeah.
at term four, aren't we?
Yep.
Apparently. So he's been there and he absolutely loves it. He really does.
He's found his place.
He has.
Yeah.
And look, obviously I still have my concerns about,
yes.
you know, pushing him hard enough and,
yes.
and you know, oh,
I think all my friends
sort of
think that in the special school too.
Yeah,
we're all,
it is. It's
and
really
then there's a day
hard.
Where I think, oh, it's right at her level. And then there's another
yeah.
day
exactly.
I'm like, oh, yeah. It's
are people in mainstream are thinking the same
that
thing.
That too, yeah.
So,
exactly.
And
there's
they're
no
fighting against
option.
It.
Yeah.
They're like, there's too much pressure here.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
But I want to know, back to like when you walked into that school, did you think, oh, shit, we're moving? Like, did you just
yeah,
know?
Yeah, it's massive.
Ah, yeah, that's an interesting one. oh, kind of. My husband went with me.
Yes, important.
And the other thing, I suppose, well, we really liked it. Okay. Yep. We were pretty sold. I loved how they kind of have their own sort of, you know, junior area, but then they also have a middle school area, which is kind of where my guy is now.
Yeah.
And that's, it's kind of like they call the young adult center. So right. It kind of really steps them up. Yep. And then obviously the older kids are all at the farm. So I really loved the way they set that up. That really worked for me. Obviously our guys still get to visit the farm usually once or twice a week as well. So yes, they still do that. But yeah, it just sort of, I loved the way they set it up. But to me, I wasn't going to be sold until my guy could actually come and see it and visit
yes,
it too.
Yes. And yes. It's nice to see 100%, them.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And no. But this is the amazing thing, right? Is I knew if I went with my guy, he would be really anxious and just sort of, you know, not see it as being a school thing. So my amazing, you know, that's the primary school that I told you about, just how fabulous they were.
Yep.
The aide from that school drove my guy 2 hours to have his visit
Goosebumps.
To this regional school. Isn't that amazing? That's the amazing. Opposite of a rectum.
Absolute opposite.
Over and above.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? So she drove him the 2 hours. They had their visit and then she drove him the 2 hours back and met her at school.
What a woman.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
And how did she know to do that, you know?
Well, she's just amazing.
Yeah. Yes, she is amazing.
Yeah. So that was just the best.
Yeah.
And, yeah, after that I could see, he's going to fit in. The staff were very keen. So, yeah, we made it happen. Well, they made it happen. And
for someone to take your child and do that for you, like, I'm speechless.
There are so many good people.
There are, and there's amazing aides out there. Amazing aides. And for people that don't get paid enough.
They do not get paid enough.
And, for sure.
You know, teachers sometimes don't treat them with respect.
Oh.
They are doing.
Well, they're life-changing.
They are life-changing.
The aides, absolutely. My boys' aides, because they can't be here, I can't be with them. So they sit in all the classes and make notes of what the teachers said so that when Buzz and Woody email them, they can answer all the questions, or they send them a breakdown of what the class was, and then they send them all their times, like, this is when we're available, this is what happened. Aww. And I just think, you're getting paid less than the teacher, but you're doing about four times more work. No offense, teachers, but these aides really are.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear anyone being rude to them.
Love them. Love them. I was quite shocked when I found out, when we talked to P friend Lou, that in Sydney they don't do the training
the
Melbourne. The Melbourne aides, and we can only speak for our own state.
That's a TAFE course.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, back
to you, yes.
Oh, that's okay. No.
I just wanted to give that aide the credit she deserved.
Phenomenal. Yes. Yeah.
Well, her name is Laura.
Laura, yes.
Laura, you are an absolute champion and we absolutely loved you. And
P's say yes to you, Laura.
Yes, the P's do. Yes.
I agree.
So, okay.
Yes, anyway, so that was sort of how that happened. And so, you know, it made it happen.
Yes.
We got him in there at midway through the year, and obviously it was a bit tricky at first, as any new thing is.
Yes.
We got ourselves, we had to sort of rent out our place and found ourselves a rental in this regional town. And
adjust to regional life.
Well, yeah, and then eventually we bought a place. So we've now got a rental place as well. Yeah, exactly. So. That's kind of how that all worked.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And does your husband have to commute for 2 hours a day? Or
Yes.
He does. Oh, wow.
Not at the moment.
No. He loves coronavirus.
Yeah.
You'd think he would, but no. Because 2 hour commute on the train is actually really lovely.
Yeah.
Imagine
time for podcast.
2 hours.
Yeah. Read a book.
Read a book. Play a game.
So he catches a train.
Train station's right near our house. He just jumps on the train, goes straight to Southern Cross, and then his office is right there.
Right. Yeah.
So in that sense, it was a big commute, but it was a pretty easy one.
Yes, yes. I think it would be nice to sit on a train and read a book or listen to a podcast, especially not a really jam-packed train.
Oh, I would love that. Right. V-line.
That's right. V-line.
Spread out.
Exactly. Yeah. V-line. V-line's a really comfy girl.
Yes.
Much more comfy than
we're coming
to Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not on the...
Right. Anytime you want to come visit, by all means.
It's not the Lilydale line.
It's not the Lilydale
line. No, it's not the Lilydale line. No,
when I went to the UK... and hopped on their country trains, a little tea trolley comes down. Oh, I thought I was on Harry Potter.
Oh, my goodness, Kate.
Oh, it was
amazing.
So amazing. Anyway, once again, off topic.
Back
derailed, so to say.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. So you keep telling us what you want to say.
And then you obviously you changed your focus too.
Yeah, yes and no. So once we moved, I had already sort of started doing these seminars on autism.
Yes.
Inspired by my son's primary school.
Yep.
And so I really just expanded them out. So I kept doing them because people keep wanting me to do them.
Yes, yes.
I'd travel all around Victoria running these seminars and, hiring out university lecture theatres or community centres or just depending on how many people I had.
Yep.
Sometimes I'd have 15 people, sometimes I'd have 70 people. It just depends.
Yep.
On,
Yeah.
So I did that for a few years and then I kind of thought, you know what, no, I'd kind of like to do something a little different. And so this job came up beginning of this year. Which is a sort of large disability organisation.
Yep.
Service provider. And essentially, as I said before, my job is to speak to peas and pea shoots who use the services of that disability organisation and chat to them about their experiences and find out what we could, maybe what's working and what's not working and come back to them and see what we can do to make it better. So it's a pretty, pretty amazing job. I am very, very blessed. And I feel really lucky to do it. And it's just a really great job. So it's in a way, it's my dream job.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And like we've said before, lived experience when you're, when you speak to a therapist or a psychologist or whatever, lived experience
exactly.
is so great. It just makes all the difference.
Do
not
you
to say there
that?
Aren't good ones that aren't.
Do you feel that when you're doing your work? Like, I know I'm doing
100%.
Well at this because I understand
100%.
That.
Yeah, good.
Exactly. And they do too. They feel that I get that.
Yeah.
So I think that does make a huge difference, and I think that that's one of the reasons why I got the job.
Of course.
I feel like that's because it is really important. You know yourself if you're speaking to somebody and they don't get it,
I just sort of shut down.
You do shut down.
Exactly. Yeah. Why would I want to talk to you? I don't want to tell you about stuff. You don't get it.
No.
I think it does make a difference. But it's amazing. I get to hear so many different stories and I think the best bit about it is that hopefully I can really make a difference.
Oh,
and that's a huge
I'm
thing
sure
for me.
You are. Yep, I'm sure you are.
Thank you.
Every day you will be.
And so do you like living in the country?
I do. I mean, it's great right now. I'll be really honest with you girls. Compared to
being down here,
compared
you must
to
be
lockdown
like,
Melbourne.
if I think about where we were living in our place.
You're having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Well, no, not a laugh, but boy, oh boy, would I rather be here than there because here we have a big backyard, we have space, and if I go for a walk, well, not that I love going for walks with the mask, but if I do, at least I'm not seeing a million and one people trying to also go for their walk, with their mask. So Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It really is. And it's so pretty. It's so
pretty. It is pretty.
Yeah.
But sorry, that's probably a bit of a wrecking comment, isn't it?
No, like, even it's allowed to be beautiful. You've moved your whole life.
You moved your whole life
to make it better
deserve.
For your family. That's right. You took a big risk and, you travel.
It's enormous.
Yeah, it is enormous.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine away from your family and your friends and you have to start all over again.
Yeah, no.
That's true.
It's huge.
Have you been able to find friends for yourself? Like, have you been able to meet people at the special school? And how have you done
that? Yeah, no, our special school is really active. In fact, our community in our town is really active as well. So that's been fantastic. We've got great supports in this town. So, that's been lovely, actually. There's some really great people. No worries there. It's obviously sad to leave all my Melbourne friends behind, but I still keep in touch with them.
Yeah. I mean, and the internet's great.
Well, that's right, exactly. Yeah, and I'm down all the time because our family is all in Melbourne. So
before
COVID.
The last three months, whatever, we haven't been able to see anybody. So, you're probably seeing them just as much.
Exactly. Wouldn't make any difference where you are.
No,
you know?
It doesn't make any difference except you can go more than 5 kilometres from your house. So
you said your beautiful boy plays the drums. Is that the sort of, that one thing that he loves to do? Does he love, do sport? What does he do in his recreation?
Yeah, his recreation is that. drums. That and video games. Like, you can't call them video games anymore, can you?
What do we call them?
But I think they do still call them video games.
I think they do.
Do they?
Yeah, even though they probably don't know what a video is.
No, that's right. So whatever it is on the iPad, you know, all those Roblox and all those sort of things. So, he's a bit of a fan of those. But, drumming, and he loves to have other people drum with him. Because we bought him a new drum kit for his birthday last year. Okay, which was wonderfully, like a really awesome whiz bang one.
Yeah,
because we bought him an older style one, a couple of years prior.
Yeah,
but of course, when you buy him the new one, does he want to play on the new one?
No,
because it's too hard. Oh, so now we have two drum kits.
Of course, you do.
But look, he loves that though, because that means that one of us has to play with him.
Oh, how fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So lots of concerts for the family on Zoom. Lots of, Mum, you got to get it like this.
How we do it,
that kind of thing.
Beautiful.
And so, I know that's important to me, if I love music, that my children can have access to it. So how does that make you feel?
Yeah. Oh, it really does. It's actually really interesting watching him, learn a song.
Yeah.
So as I've said to you guys, at the very beginning of this, that music was, my whole world when I was a late child teenager and late childhood. And so to watch him go through that process, it's really nice because there's so much we miss out on, girls, isn't there?
You think,
I wish. You get what you get and you don't get upset. That's the reality.
Yes.
But it's really lovely when you actually see something.
It makes your heart sing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's more right, so exactly. than other more. Families because this is hard that's, earned.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Trying
and so
harder.
That for me is the nicest bit.
Yeah.
So I watch him and we have a little chat about, how did you learn that song, mate? How did you do that? And he says, well, I listened to it over and over. And I think, yep, that's exactly what Mummy used to do when she was learning to sing.
Yeah.
So it's just a lovely little thing. I'm crap at drums. He will tell you this. I just can't do
I think you're born a drummer.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
I think you're born a drummer.
Yeah. I can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, can you,
yes,
Amanda?
Yes, I did learn it a little bit in high school.
Well, anyway, I have got two drum kits here, so.
It's been some time.
I've got lots of drum. We've got four. Well, the sound engineer and scholarship.
Yeah.
And
she plays. Yep.
Buzz and Woody both play the drums. Buzz and Woody, it's just got too hard at mainstream high school.
Yeah.
We just couldn't have that time. Yeah. But I figure, we've got drum kits and if we want to do it again, we will. And
awesome.
And I know with Molly, learning an instrument is probably, or it hasn't happened.
No.
But I can still give her the love of music.
Oh, yeah, we have the love of music.
By listening to it and all that. Because you think, you can't play flute like me or you can't do that. But I can still give her the love of music.
Oh, and dance and movement.
Yeah,
and
so everyone can. Yes. Everyone can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. For sure. sure.
And I think the best thing about music is it's so individual. Like I can look at Scholarship, for example, who, you know, accompanied all the VCE music kids because she was really good at percussion. And then I can look at Buzz and Woody and they were so excited when they're like, our drum teacher said we could learn Hilltop Hoods because we listen to Triple J. Yeah. Same excitement though, right?
Same excitement.
So, you know, awesome. It's just that's, music is, well, I mean, how many, I always listen to music. I just can't imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
Our house, I tell you what, Hamilton, Book of Mormon, on repeat.
Yeah, because this is the other thing as well, girls, is that, you know, when I was in high school, I was leading singing at our church too.
Oh, so Shine Jesus Shine?
Tell us. Tell me everything.
Well, it was very similar to you girls, really. Yeah. I grew up in the Baptist church.
Right.
You know, we would learn, lead the singing. I did it from sort of the, I was probably about 14 probably about 18. I stopped when I was about 18 for year 12.
Right.
But so I probably didn't go on as long as you girls did. But that was a big part of my world. Yeah.
It's
church
the best
side of things.
It's not the best thing about church, but for me, the fact that you can have that non-judgmental singing experience. Yes, it's awesome.
The musos all get a chance.
Everyone gets a go.
I mean, if you're a bass player, you need to join a church. You'll get every gig.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
You really will.
Exactly. They're always searching for one every Sunday. We need a bass.
Yeah.
You gain so much in confidence.
You really do.
You know?
You really
do. Because you're up there.
Yeah.
You've got to introduce every the song and then you've got to sing it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it gave me a lot too.
Amazing skills.
Did love drama and everything as well, but you know, it was still a really good thing for me. So
No, I think there's loads. I find it interesting often, you know, once someone comes on Australian Idol or any of those, and then you do a background on them.
So many of them
Came through churches because you just, even if they're not still involved, they got to learn to sing in a really supportive environment. Yeah. So, you know, a little tip for you if you want to learn to sing, join your local church. They'll take anyone. Refuse you.
It's true.
Even the fact that they are shut at the moment. But
they
when
are
they
shut.
Come back alongside with the pubs, they open at the same time.
Do they? The pubs
and
the church.
I just want to point that out. That sounds a little bit aggressive. Sorry.
No. I'm just interested that
it's
they all come back. Well, I suppose it's
churches
the same.
And pubs are going to come back at the same time.
Well, there'll be this, probably the same amount of hugging goes on. So,
I think they're going to come back very different places. I do.
Oh, very.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a whole other topic. Amy.
That's okay. Understand.
You know.
Oh, I didn't know we had that background. You had that background.
Of course you
too.
Do now. I'm like, of course.
Of course.
Yes, of course. I have to say to all the peas that send me the Shine Jesus Shine TikToks, God bless you because I love
them. There's so many of them.
If you go on TikTok, Amy, and just put in Shine Jesus Shine. It will blow your mind. And they have like, this was my youth counselor. This was my youth pastor. This is my, it's not
funny.
Mocking.
No.
It's really funny.
Goodness.
I love it.
Okay.
Anyway, I know some people don't love Shine Jesus Shine, but I don't know how.
No.
It's such a great song.
Do you still go to church or did you have time where you left it or if you feel like sharing a bit of that?
Like you girls, we sort of moved away from that sort of world.
That's
okay.
Yeah. It's a big one. Yeah, you don't
have
to answer
that. We accept that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Oh, we do. Yeah. And we understand the complexity of that.
Yeah.
It is. It's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And shout out to all our beautiful friends who love us anyway.
Yeah, they do. All my book club.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. I say outrageous things over Zoom in book club and then I look at their faces and I think, uh-oh.
I'm going to call her out. My beautiful friend Mandy and her husband Jamie, who are beautiful, beautiful Christians and love their church very much. They still always listen and send me messages.
Same.
And I'm like, I love that in them.
Yes, me too.
So
there
are some.
Yes.
It's made us who we are. Regret one thing.
Yes.
Of course not.
Absolutely.
I regret liking chocolate, but I don't regret many other things.
So true. And actually, that's a really good shout out that I would like to make.
Yeah, go for
it. Because this person is also a Christian.
Yeah.
My wonderful friend Dara, and I'm going to, because I know she listens.
Hi, Dara.
She brought me to your podcast.
Do I know her? So I think I know
you
her.
You do, man.
Yes.
Oh,
you do.
That's right.
The small Christian web.
Well, it's Christian web, but I think also, Mandy, she might have been one of your clients.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes. Right.
But anyway, I thought we've got to make – I can't finish the podcast without –
Oh, please. Oh, Dara.
Because, she is also Christian, but she brought me to you.
So,
thank you, Dara.
Goosebumps.
Thank you.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Dara.
I often wonder how did people start hearing about the podcast?
Yeah.
Like, we don't ask that question.
We should.
Yeah, it's
you
really
should. That's a good question.
I know. Yeah. It's a good question.
I mean, I've been running my business for 7 years and I need to ask people, how'd you find out about
it? I know.
I don't.
People always say to me with my work, so what percentage would you say is personal referrals, real estate agents? And I just make it up for every answer.
I'm 100% people who are thrilled with my work.
Yes.
Sorry, Amy, here. We're going off the tangent.
Sorry. Well, we don't get to talk anymore.
I know. Tell
me. I'm going to run out of I just laugh so much.
Have we missed anything? Is there something you want to tell the world about your story?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it's a challenging journey, but it's worth it.
Yes.
And I guess I just want, you know, all of us peas, all of our pea shoots, you know, we understand, we know the challenges. And I guess that's it. I'm really grateful to you guys. I think the community that you've created is so beautiful and so wonderful. And I'm so glad that you have done this.
Mm.
I think the other thing I wanted to shout out as well is, you know, I remember you guys talking about the challenges of running, you know, or doing this podcast and people making, you know, having criticisms or having comments that perhaps, you know, no, you're not allowed to tell your story. No, it should all be all about the pea shoots. Well, I'll tell you, I've definitely experienced the same. I experienced a lot of that during when I was doing my business as well, because there was that sense, well, you shouldn't be talking about autism. It should be, you know, only the pea shoots talking about it. And so, you know, I think that's a really tricky one, and I really acknowledge that you girls have done this, and it's, I think we all should be really grateful to you, and well done to you for doing this.
Oh, well, thank you.
It is tricky, so thank you.
It's tricky.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Yes. It's so tricky.
Yeah.
My hope, and I don't know if I am brave enough to say this, but my hope is that we could bridge a painful gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we can, I'd be really proud.
Mm.
And I'm not I'm not sure if we're clever enough to do that.
No, maybe not.
Maybe. And it makes me want to cry because I just – it's complex and we never want to hurt anybody's feelings.
We're acutely aware
of our children.
Exactly.
However, we had a screaming noise to say that if women particularly – supported, then aren't we going to do a better job?
Yes. And all these pea shoots are going to have a better
life. And
all
these pea shoots will have a better life.
And if some rectums out there can hear what it's
like,
they will change. Yes. And we want the world to change.
I don't know, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you, girls.
Oh, okay. And I wanted to say, Mandy and I did start the podcast, but the community has built itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
And they're just as everyone in that hangout, everyone on Insta and whatever, they're beautiful, supportive,
Never a mean thing.
No,
a few thousand people,
gorgeous.
Never anything mean.
No.
It's just
wonderful.
Just goes to show there is no judgment in the P world.
No.
And that, fuck off everybody else because you don't know how good it is.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Wouldn't it be amazing that when, I don't know if this could ever happen, that somebody gets a diagnosis with their child and they says, well, now we belong to this group.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, they're excited.
Not rather than, what we're going to miss out on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because that's the thing, girls. How hard was it, you know, when we first started?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing like this.
Nothing.
You know?
I would have jumped on. I would have been the biggest fan. I would have been sending songs too.
Yeah, we would have been avoiding. We're like, oh no, Mandy's emailing again.
I'd have been leaving speak pipes every week. Yeah. Excuse me, have you heard of me? My twins.
Oh, goodness.
Well, thank you, Amy.
Thank you, thank you, thank
you.
We're very excited.
Thank you for having me.
Sad we didn't get to meet you, but, you know, we all know each other anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
We're virtual friends.
Let's do our cry, make a difference, laugh, and Amy's going to join in.
Yes.
So would you like to go first with your cry, Amy?
Sure. Okay. So I guess I had a bit of a cry over the last few weeks because I remember, Mandy, you talking about your dad and your uncle having their 70th birthday.
Yes.
Well, yeah, my mum had her 70th birthday and it's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, give them a big hug through the screen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we just had Father's Day as well. So we couldn't, same thing. I can't give my dad a hug.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's probably my little cry.
It's actually a big cry.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It sucks. It really does. So, anyway.
Aren't these sense of 70 is a big deal? And you know, you want to celebrate them.
Yeah.
And
Zoom is just not.
No,
it's not the same.
I can't do it anymore.
And even in Melbourne, you know, I get to go for a walk with P-friend Lorraine, but we can't hug. Like, you can't.
I know.
It's just so unnatural.
Oh, my neighbour whose dad died, I couldn't hug her.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to give her an elbow. I just stood there with my hand on my heart saying, I'm sorry.
I know. But you feel this sense of... I'm not hugging someone. I'm not giving this disease that I may not know. You know, you don't have symptoms for 14 days.
And we haven't had symptoms for 6 months.
I know, but I'm still terrified that I might give it to someone else. So even though I hardly leave the house, I just go to Priceline. When I walk in, they just wave, go get the script. Like, they don't, have to say my name anymore. I'm the queen of fucking Priceline.
Oh, boy, Kate.
Sorry.
Oh, dear. Sorry. I cried just after the announcement saying that stage four was going to be extended. Yeah, just a little cry. I couldn't even let myself go there. It was just like I started crying and then I thought, shut it down.
I know.
Yeah.
Don't cry.
Yeah. I know.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It was just, I got in the car and I just thought, oh, my gosh. You know.
I saw someone put a funny, you know, those like, don't cry because it's over, cry because it happened. And someone's like, I want to fucking cry because it's over. I don't like living through the happening.
No.
So, yeah. Oh. So, my cry this week was, you know, as everybody knows, Mandy and I are writing a book. And I was like writing the after school activities chapter. And I just was reminded, like, when you actually live through it again, I just cried. I just thought, this is unfair. Mm. This is not inclusive. Mm. And I had a cry, you know? So, for any of you beautiful peas out there who are trying to find after school activities for your most amazing, awesome children,
my goodness,
we see you. We really do. And when Mandy and I win $40 million Tats Lotto,
we're going to
set up the most amazing after school activities you've ever heard of. And all the, you know, regular kids will be like, can we come? And we'll be like, oh, no, we have to screen you first.
Sorry, you can come at 6:45 on a Tuesday.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, you can come during The Bachelor when your mum wants to watch that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can come at all the bad times.
Yes. Exactly.
Our pea shoots are getting 4:15.
Yeah.
I could go on. Did I write that?
Yeah, I think
good.
So.
Yep. I don't know what I've written.
You did write.
I have no idea.
May not be in the book, though, because the editor might. We don't know.
I know. We don't know.
We are writing and who knows?
We don't know what we're doing.
We don't know.
So, anyway.
Oh, boy.
Do you have a make a difference, Amy?
I do. Yes. Shall I go for that?
Yeah, go.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So my make a difference is my husband.
Oh.
Because really, truthfully, I started this new job, you know, as I talked about before, as the pea searcher, in early May. So obviously in the midst of COVID.
Yeah.
And he has been an absolute champion.
Good job.
Because we've obviously had to juggle, you know, juggling our pea shoot between us. And he's had to pick up a lot of slack.
Yeah.
So, you know, because obviously starting a new job is, you know, it's tricky and this job is challenging.
Well, you're distracted, aren't you? You're trying to learn 100 new things and where are the scissors?
You don't want to let anyone down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? Don't want to let anyone down.
Where are the scissors? We're not all childcare workers.
No.
I work in childcare and then in a parenting centre. Okay, where are the scissors?
No, I don't.
I know I've got a PhD, but where are the scissors?
Sorry.
I will compose myself. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, we have got some hysteria.
That's why I love you too. I really do.
Have
have you not been in an office and you don't know where the scissors are, and then you feel like an idiot, and then once when the new person comes and they can't find the scissors, you can show them. And then you feel like, I'm not the new person anymore.
Someone else doesn't know where the scissors are.
That's what I mean.
I'll be honest with you, Mandy, it does tend to be the stapler.
That's what I'm saying.
This is Mandy's idea of an office. Have you seen the scissors? Has anybody seen the scissors? Let's get on Zoom and ask for the scissors.
Oh, Amy.
Should point out, Mandy or I never worked in an office.
Oh, well, at QEC, the Early Parenting Centre, there was a nurse's station.
Yes, I've done
that. That's what I'm picturing. Yeah. That made me laugh. Yes, that's for sure.
That's probably what Daniel Andrews is saying before every press conference. Where's the bloody scissors?
Oh, we are ridiculous.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, my make a difference is, now, bear with me in this.
Yep.
I found on Instagram this beautiful woman, and her page on Instagram is called Let Me Try Before You Buy. Does anyone know her? Mm-hmm. Her name's Nat.
No.
Right. So she is like a what are they called? Influencer. So, you know, they send their clothes to her, she tries them all on, and then she moves around her room and shows you what they look like.
Right.
She's got all her measurements on her page and everything. Anyway, she's so gorgeous. And I've been following her for not very long, but Molly and I just love it because she starts every, she started it probably the last couple of months. She'll say, I hope that you're happy and I hope that you're well. That's how she starts. She greets you with that.
Yeah.
So one day we just went through and looked at them all and we just started giggling because when you listen to them one after the other, Anyway, yesterday I said, oh, Molly, we should look at Let Me Try Before You Buy today.
Yep.
Let's see what she says. And she says, I hope that you're happy and I hope that you're well. And then Molly says to me, she brightens my day.
Aww. Oh, it's a perfect make a difference.
I know, it's perfect. Yeah.
So beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And there has been, like, so she says the same thing in a variation every day. And then there was, I'm not going to tell you because the peas will go in and write 100 things to her.
Yes.
So don't do that like Maggie Beer.
Oh, Maggie Beer's still going on.
It's still going on.
Still going on.
So I'm telling you not to do this, but there is one where she's wearing black sequins and she says, let me read it probably. She says, well, love me tender and call me amazing.
Nice.
Because she kind of looks a bit Elvis-ish, you know.
Right.
So that's a funny, Molly's been saying that all week.
Oh, lovely.
So that will be my laugh. I'm going to tell you that in a minute.
Yeah, right. Okay, so my make a difference, I wanted to say thank you to all the peas who send Mandy and I beautiful messages, emails, Instagrams.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. It makes a huge difference. Lots of them we can't share. And you wouldn't want to, they don't want to be shared or,
they're private.
Yeah, but it's people sharing their lives is a really amazing thing
it
and
is.
We love it. Hopefully we reply to them all. I just worked out, and I know everyone's just going to roll their eyes and scholarship and number one daughter will pull their hair out, but you can mark emails as unread once you've read them. I'm like, hallelujah. Because I read it and then I forget to reply. So now I read it and mark as unread. Oh,
wow. I know. Welcome to 2020.
I've only been using emails for half my life and I've just realised you can mark them as unread. So hopefully I'll reply to more of you now. Okay. But if we don't reply, it's not because we don't love you.
No, we read
we
them
just,
all
we
and
do
Kate
read
sends them.
Them
to me. Yeah.
Yep, and I do. Yeah. And the other thing was, and I know we've said it before, but our merch team are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. And the pea masks, they're back in stock. They've just been so great.
Oh.
And I just, we don't know what we're doing. And this just treat us like we're superstars. And we're not.
Aww,
and they run
lovely.
An actual merch business with actual big, huge music
bands.
Stars and us.
Aww. And us. Oh, what would you like, Kate, Mandy? A pea mask? Yes, please.
Yeah, they're so lovely. So they are my make a difference
Kenny's
this week.
Whole team.
Yeah, we do.
What about your laugh, Amy?
Well, I just wanted to say about the make a difference that Kate said there.
Oh,
you know,
I
absolutely love mine too.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
They're great, aren't they? Yeah.
I've got my jumper and I've got my lanyard and I am loving it.
Awesome.
Yep. There's still lanyards, people.
The hoodies are awesome, aren't they?
The hoodies are awesome.
The hoodies are amazing. So warm, so cozy.
Yeah.
No, it's fabulous. So
and
anyway,
we're getting more hoodies.
We are getting more because we know that the overpeas are going into winter.
Yes, and a couple of people missed out on the medium. So we've made some more. Anyway, I don't know when they'll be in stock, but you just have to keep checking.
Okay, what made you laugh, Amy?
Okay, so like you guys, there's quite a lot of things to do with puberty area that we are not
yes,
talk about.
Yes.
Okay.
It's so a great shame.
I had to think. Yes, exactly.
It is a great shame. The stories we could tell.
Isn't there so many funny things?
Yes. Anyways,
not allowed to do that. So no. I thought of something else. Basically, this was, a little while ago. I can't remember exactly when, but I was too tired to cook dinner. Obviously, I'm working. My husband's working or whatever.
Yep.
So I said to my son, you know, sorry, son, I'm too tired to cook dinner. And he said, well, what will we do? And I said, takeaway? And he goes, no, Mum, you can't take away dinner. So, yeah, that took a bit of explaining.
Oh, that's so cute. You can't take away dinner. You can't.
No. Mum doesn't want it gone either, believe me.
No, well. Well, we would like it to be gone if we could have someone cook for us every night.
Yes.
Oh, that's right, exactly. So funny. Gorgeous. What about you, Kate?
So we've still been homeschooling, obviously, remote sparkling learning.
Yep.
Even though maybe this episode will be on holidays. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because Maddie and I don't know what we're doing.
I want to quit anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
But what made me laugh so much this week was the science teacher was doing the male reproductive system, right? So she says to the children, and they're all on Zoom, right? So half of them have got their mums in the room or someone's, you know. Oh, no. I mean, this is, you know. She says, so why do you think, you know, that the male, you know, scrotum or balls, as you may call them, hang lower outside the body? Why do you think? Why do you think that is? And this silence. And she's like, well, someone's got to answer. And so this kid goes, well, I'd say they only hang lower in summer because in winter they sort of disappear. So even she laughed. And then she's like, oh, that's not exactly what I was going to say. No. What I was going to say is that they stay cool so that, you know, and then goes on to sperm. Anyway, and then we got past that, and then we had to, you know, do the drawing of the sperm and all of this sort of stuff and where it comes from and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And Woody just goes, I just don't get it. If plants have air sperm, why can't we? It seems much easier to breathe than do all of this. I just thought.
It's true, mate.
It is true. Take a deep breath in. True. Pregnant. And then she's talking about the penis, you know, and obviously when the male becomes excited, it becomes erect. And and then Woody just goes, so penis is just basically Pinocchio. So we have
they lie all the time.
They lie all the time, those penises.
It keeps getting bigger.
Anyway, I'll be glad when the term's over.
Oh, great. That's above and beyond, Maddie.
This is above and beyond.
No.
Anyway.
I was in bed this morning and they all came in for a cuddle. That's sort of our morning routine because we don't have to rush.
I know, no rushing.
The dog's on my head. Yep. You know, we're all in there. And I roll over, cuddle Miss Nine, and then Molly says to me, Mum, can you roll over so I can see your beautiful fat face? We're roaring with laughter. So have a cuddle with her. And then you know how she doesn't like use by dates. So
yes.
I found her. She's checking the milk. 3 litres.
No.
Yep.
Oh.
8th of whatever, September or whatever.
Oh.
And next thing I hear it chugging
glug,
down
glug,
the drain.
Glug, 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 glug.
And she goes from our friend Nat from Let Me Try Before You Buy, well, love me tender and call me amazing. She's pouring the milk down.
Oh, funny. Oh, boy.
I was like, boy. I'm sure we could have used that milk.
Yeah, you need to just buy 1 litre.
Yeah.
I do because she's at, but Aldi, I just buy the.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I know.
Anyway, they have different litres. Anyway, that whole thing went down before I could even get
gone.
Gone. Yep. She just, she's obsessed with the dates.
Oh.
Love me tender and call me amazing. She says it all the time. But it was just so funny. Anyway, I thought that was a good one.
That is
The other thing that does make me laugh is I found Uncle Roger on YouTube.
Oh, I love Uncle Roger. I love him.
Oh, so he has been telling people off, like Jamie Oliver, how to cook rice, and he's Chinese, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. And he's so funny.
He's on TikTok. He's got his, I think he's on YouTube. He's definitely got YouTube.
He's definitely on YouTube.
And I've seen him a few times on Facebook. So we'll try and find, luck, Akka, the link of him. So he watches a chef cook something. Or just a blogger or influencer.
And then he just tells you how it is.
If they're cooking Chinese food.
Yeah, they're cooking Chinese food.
Yes. And so he then's like, what?
Oh, he said, you hear sizzling, I hear my ancestors crying.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver, you're using olive oil. Yeah. Olive oil is not for Asian food.
It's only for white
people. You don't have a wok? Yeah. Why don't you have a wok? Yeah. Like, it's so funny.
Oh, yeah. He's really, he's like, I'll send you a wok, Jamie Oliver. And he goes on a Jamie Oliver's website. Look at all your cookbooks. You can't afford a wok.
The spring onion.
Oh,
it is
the spring onion's a garnish. It's going to be wilted. What are you doing? I love him.
It's actually fantastic. Wow. And I was like, I'm going to learn a lot here.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Do not drain rice. I was like, okay. Why? I know to drain it when it's dry. I know you've got to rinse it before you cook it. Mm. But, you know, he said, do not drain it.
Well, he's like, you need to get a rice cooker.
Yeah. And then Jamie Oliver, he's like, bought the rice in the packet.
I know. Anyway, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. It's so good.
No one criticizes Jamie Oliver.
No.
And then you're like, wow. Yeah. He's really wrong.
Yeah, he's really, it was beautiful. It's so funny and beautiful.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
It is. And that's what we need during these unprecedented
times.
Well,
we do. We've got a lot of time to watch silly things like this.
Never
we
had so much
do.
Time.
Yeah. No. I'm trying to avoid housework at all costs.
Yeah.
It's just so damn boring. So,
And how disappointed were we originally when, you know, he wasn't actually the naked chef?
I know.
I was like, oh.
What do you mean?
Makes a good baked potato, though, let me tell you.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I make his potatoes.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right, I'll have to have a look at that. Anyway, thank you, Amy.
Anyway, thank you.
We have loved talking to you.
We really, really have. It's been lovely.
Thanks, girls. One day we will meet up.
And
thank you for supporting the piece.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for the songs. Keep them coming. Yeah. Keep those speak pipes coming.
And rate and review people.
Yep, you can do it on the Acast app now, which Acast is asking us to tell you, so we will tell you.
Okay.
So, yep, rate, review.
Thank you to the supporters.
Oh, the supporters, the you're
beautiful
just beautiful.
Messages.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You are making a huge difference. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yep, okay.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.